Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be talking about the four basic pillars of resilience and learn the ABCs. Why is he on 1, 2, 3? I know. Don't we go with that? I'm going to go ahead and bring on my beautiful, lovely, and profound Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight?
I have a headache. I've been thinking about my thinking about my thinking.
I know, right?
I'm funked out.
Yeah, we're funk out. Funk out. That's a good new thing. Funk out, man. Funk out. We're going through, it's the Cafe Book Club, and we are going through the resilience factor, 7 keys to finding your inner strength and overcoming life's hurdles. And right before we went live, Amy and I was just kind of asking Amy how she felt about the book. And really some good things that I think that you offered, Amy. She was talking about how, some of this kind of reads as a textbook. But why don't you go ahead and talk about that for a second, Amy, about, you know, where we went with that.
Well, it's one of those things you have to build a foundation. And in terms of learning, sometimes that's not the fun part, you know, but you have to learn the basics and then you start working with it and then it becomes more fun. But in chapter 3, which we're going to start with here, just to get us ready to dive into chapter 4, where we really start thinking about our thinking, and they talk about laying the groundwork. And at the very beginning, and they say, in buying this book, you've made an important statement. You've declared your belief that your destiny can be changed and molded, that you can take control of your behavior and pilot your own life. We share that belief. And so I think that's exciting, because I think, you know, lessons people get, or psychology early on, is basically you're doomed, you know, and you're, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to keep, you know, talking about, you know, your past and your mother and, you know, whatever, and instead of being able to know and go forward. And now we're really starting to tap into that unconscious, which is most of what's ruling our lives. We think it isn't. We don't even think about it at all, but it truly is. And so this gives us an opportunity to build that groundwork.
Yeah, I don't even think we want to admit it. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, I think
we were talking before about how, you know, everything's accumulative. So, you know, I am that, you know, all those experiences that made me who I am. And, you know, and I don't know, I have to speak for myself, but you get to a point in your life where you really look back, and hopefully you can be in this place where, through self-reflection, it wouldn't be too much you changed in your life, because it's made you who you are. So having those realizations about yourself and how life has really put you out there, I think it can be something that you can really embrace in just a new way.
Well, and, you know, looking at research about the unconscious, you know, there's different numbers, but let's kind of do the medium. They're saying that we think 50,000 thoughts a day. And
like, wow.
90% of those thoughts are unconscious. That's a lot of stuff going on that we're not aware of.
And I don't know if it's more or less, but I think with working with the internet and then all the other things that a level of media that we just have, you know, coming in all the time too. That's such a level of factors that we just haven't had in any other time, you know, sense of time, that makes that much more. For having a really encouraging you to have a sense of awareness about, you know, how do you deal with all things? How is that being resilient for yourself?
And are those your thoughts? Think about this. So I hadn't thought of that until we just started talking. So you talked about that you have 50,000 thoughts a day, but how many of those are being injected, right, from what you're looking at in terms of social media that you wouldn't have had necessarily on your own? So I think that is a whole other thing that's happening. Depending, you've got to be really careful what not only the thoughts you're thinking, right, but those thoughts that you're letting float by you that you may be grabbing onto without even noticing.
Yeah, you know, depending on what you searched for, you know, be it on your computer or your phone, you're going to start having all those similar topics and things like that, being invited to come back, you know, come back in for you to go and explore. So it's that much more of just things, you know, whether you really ask for it or not, you know, how that goes. So that's always fun.
As you can, and watching your actions, because sometimes you don't catch that unconscious until you see yourself doing or saying something.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to touch on that now, but we actually, by the time we get to the end of chapter four, there's really an invitation to go back to that, too, and being able to look at part of the things we do with the ABCs, being able to have that be something that's very reflective and being in present moment, but also being almost a witness to yourself when we get to that part. So chapter three is about laying the groundwork, and they're really going to be talking about the four basic pillars at the beginning of this, some of the structures of the life, you know, as we're talking, you know, about thinking, the way we think. And, you know, pillar number one is life change is possible. And really a lot of people, I didn't realize this until we actually looked at this too, is that, you know, it hasn't been always the common thought or just the way that we are about that being even a concept of things.
Yeah, that you were doomed, basically.
Yeah, that you know, you didn't necessarily have a possibility of change. And I think that goes back into just, you know, we've talked before on the show about when it comes to being able to change your brain. I mean, it used to, it wasn't even that long ago that doctors really thought that once your brain was, you know, grown and developed, you basically started dying off. It wasn't like you could grow new brain cells, and that's just not true anymore. They know that you can keep developing and changing your brain all through your life. So, you know, a lot of it has to be with, you know, inviting new information in, like we're talking about. But the fact that, you know, we can change, and change is really something that I think is exciting. So exciting for all that. So anything else with pillar number one, Aim, about life change is possible?
Well, I think that's something to really be with, because if you can't believe that, then I think the rest of this doesn't hold any water.
All right, we're done.
Okay, over. Okay, let's go ahead, Mark.
All right, let's take another book. Okay, and then pillar number two is thinking is the key to boosting our resilience. And when we go into this whole, go ahead, Em.
Yes, but I don't think it's the key. I think what we know now is there's a whole lot of, because I'm, you know, and a big advocate of energy psychology, and energy is medicine. And I think that says that thinking trumps that. And I don't think that's true. I think they work well together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's, you know, they used to think that there was like your brain, the thinking for your whole body. And now we know that every cell thinks. And, you know, it's not just located in one part, but like the whole body. So, and, every part of your body has a little, whether you want to call it a thinking brain or basically intuitive or cognitive in the level of its awareness of itself and what's going on with everything. Because, you know, now they know, the doctors know that, you know, your cells are listening to yourself. You see something about, I'm healthy or I'm not healthy. Your brain, you know, your whole body goes, oh, okay, that's the direction we're going. So it's like, you know, in being able to look at that. So that's part of this whole thing of being able to be positive, and we're going to be talking about being optimistic again in a little bit later. And that's very interesting, too, with the different stuff they have. So, but pillar two is really talking about, you know, getting into the basic ideas of cognitive therapy, the dialogue between the therapist and their client, and really being able to, you know, work through those emotions that people have, being able to understand themselves, you know, what's really steering the day-to-day experiences that people have and what happens or not happens. So, again, it's getting aware of yourself, your past experiences, what's going on every day, and being able to have that as a touch point that you can be able to walk from that. So anything else with that one, Ames?
No, I think you covered that really well. I think you did.
Okay, thank you.
You're very good. I think you did.
Okay, good.
So pillar three is the accurate thinking is the key. And what comes to mind is you and I have done a lot of talking about Byron Katie's work, and he calls it work, where it's like, is that true? Is that really true? And knowing that a lot of times the things that we've built our lives upon, or decisions we're making right here in the real moment, are based on things that really have no basis of truth whatsoever.
Yeah. And, you know, there's four different components to Byron Katie's work, and the one that really I think, which I've talked about on the show before too, was the turnaround. We actually look at that and how that would be reflected to yourself. And I think that's so helpful when it comes to being able to just evaluate mm-hmm. situations and being able to walk yourself through something to say, am I like that or am I not like that? You know, what's really true for me? So,
what's true for me in this moment. Yep.
And I think really that's the one thing, too, that with resilience factor, it's an important thing to say, you know, ultimate, too, when we get into the ABCs, it's really important, too, about being able to look at something, see where I am with that, and then having that be something where I could step forward from that and having it to be a learning opportunity for being a sense of my resilience and what I do and I don't do. So it goes back to that, am I going to react or am I going to respond to something and being able to move from that.
Am I willing to change based on learning something new? And I think that's the key to success in life. It's the key to resilience, and I think resilience and being able to do the same thing. You know, here still, I come to a point that I think is really important in Pillar 3. It's on page 56. It talks about optimism, and it talks about unrealistic optimism has been found to decrease resistance to stress, which I think is very true. I've seen that happen for people. And realistic optimism is the ability to maintain a positive look without denying reality, actively appreciating the positive aspects of a situation without ignoring the negative aspects. Another thing, critical thinking. I've taught a lot of critical thinking classes, University of Phoenix. And, again, a lot of people don't think about their thinking. And how I choose to live my life based on learning how to be a good critical thinker is I see myself as an optimistic critical thinker. I'm going to use those tools to think through something, but I'm going to come from the belief that things are going to work themselves out and that there is more playing out here than just what I can rationalize.
Right. It's a matter of, being able to know that good things may happen and that it's worth pursuing, but that, part of that being able to do the problem solving and the planning, when necessary, when you're, bringing those things about. I think that's a really good point. So, So Pillar 4 is about refocusing on our human strengths. And it's interesting that they start that section with a quote from Henry David Thoreau where it says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So I think it's something that really being able to, I think the strength on the real key on that is that refocusing, catching myself in looking at something where you might have something that you would need to overcome. And being able to break that down in a way that makes sense to you so you can be steering through with resilience. It helps you to deal with your day-to-day worries at work and at home and things that you have happening. And, to me, it's one thing that's always been really helpful for me is coming from that beginner's mind and being able to step back and also being able to have something where sometimes you're actually just a witness to what's happening. So it really can help you to give just a broader view and hopefully a different perspective to something so you don't necessarily take it so personally. You can, look at that. And it's like, what if people didn't, I always think of the 12th step where it talks about, people always doing the best they can with what they know. So if they didn't know, how can they really be in, doing or not doing something when it comes to situations? And how do I need to be with that? And sometimes that's just a matter of being able to redefine an expectation. Boy, expectations is such an important part of this. And being able to, step back from that and say, how does it really affect everybody? Putting yourself in putting yourself in somebody else's shoes for a second, see what it might be like, if you can possibly get a different perspective on that as well. So anything else with that, Aim, about refocusing?
Yeah, I like how they talk about, it comes to a point where, you have your therapy until you can deal with your life. It's like, I'm dealing with the day-to-day stuff. And that you're, maybe even be able to bounce back when stuff happens. But they say, but resilience is more than that. It's also about reaching out. And that's where the positive psychology movement, I think, really, starts grabbing a hold. And that was relatively 15 years ago. And I think the coaching movement and the positive psychology movement kind of came together. And it's really about moving past just survival into more having a thriving life.
Survival.
There you go.
Just made a new word. Survival. Yeah. And boy, I just, that's the whole life coaching and really helping to just be there for one another and support each other with just some basic tools can just make all the difference. And I think that's one reason that is elements to having a good resilience and being able to have more tools in your toolbox when it comes to just different things that can come up that are challenging to you or something that you know, and being able to help walk through a situation. So, anything else with that chapter, Ian?
Well, I think it's just, Ben, that helps you to start, when you start that reaching out, you have that good foundation, then you can move more into being creative and more adventurous about who can I really become instead of just surviving.
That's exciting.
I think so. So then we start learning your ABCs.
Yeah, of course. And, they start this chapter called, If You Know Thyself, Then Change. And I think that's really important. I love that that's the beginning of this chapter because being able to just have a starting point of like, it's kind of like the going into anything where you basically can kind of do a journaling of like, who am I up to now? Just to kind of give you, like you said, let me have this as references so I can move forward and be able to put that kind of aside knowing that I've looked at it and it's basically been just my foundation. I think that's really good. Anything with that in?
Kind of looking forward to start thinking about, again, we're really going to dive into how the things that are happening in our lives are really affecting us. And so how do you want to dive into the ABCs?
Well, just right off the top, one of the things I think that's important, too, is just the beginning of the chapter. Is, when it comes to insights, being a first step to change, knowing that you're stepping into that, you can know that you are what you think. And I think that's such a foundational thing, I think, that I learned a long, long time ago, even just in the self-growth movement, that being able for people to be able to embrace, where they have a sense of themselves. And the A on everything is working with adversity. And, of course, here we're talking about resilience. We can't really have resilience without having these, opportunities for being able to look at it, and having adversity is a key component for all that. So the events that precipitate a reaction for us is basically what they call it for adversity.
And I think it's different for each person, and some things affect us differently than others. And something that I might find really upsetting, you may find very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they talk about what are here on page 67. They talk about, here's a partial list of possible things that, could really cause that reaction. Could be your A. They say maintaining balance between work and life. And say losing your job. How about this one? Hosting dinner parties. Say, you may go, oh, yay, I'm going to do it. Oh, it's a dinner party. And I might go, ah, that's good.
I totally did that. I was like, yeah, let's have a party.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? So that's an example. For you, that's an exciting thing. For me, that's terrorizing.
Yeah, because, up along with that, one of the aspects would be juggling several tasks at once. Well, you're having a dinner party. You're kind of juggling a lot of them. So, one thing, too, is like being diagnosed with a serious illness. That's something that would definitely could be something that comes from adversity. Do I kind of step back from that, or are you a type of person that's like, let me dig in and get some information here so I can figure out what's my next step in being able to be, proactive with this and move past it?
Think about it, that being diagnosed, maybe it's you're diagnosed or maybe somebody you love is. So those two things may affect you entirely differently.
Yeah. And, we both have had situations where our mom had been diagnosed with cancer and walking through that together. And, that's one thing that I've really learned, I think, in the last few years is that, when there is a diagnosis like that, it isn't, it isn't just the person who has it. It's everyone else who gets affected by that. And, in a different way. Yeah, absolutely. So, I've heard the saying, when one person has cancer, everybody has cancer. It's going to be a different way expression of that, but you're definitely being affected by, especially if it's a loved one that's close to you, and how to be able to walk through that, And then Amy shared on the show before, her husband a couple years ago had, almost died with just this surprise condition that they didn't know that he had, but one, you know, he literally was knocking on death's door, and being able to walk, you know, walk back from that, and, you know, how do you step forward with that? And my husband, Andrew, and my also one, my daughter have had cases of cancer, being able to walk through that, and, you know, what do we do with that? So, you know, that's the reason why I'm like, okay, well, what do I need to know, and how do I move forward? You know, that's basically my stance when it comes to stuff like that nowadays, is being as proactive as possible with that. Like, not on my watch. Let's move on. Okay.
You know, and so part of it is, you know, again, we're covering a lot of ground in a relatively short period of time.
Really fast here.
These ABCs are a really important foundation. And when you know on page 68, there is like an assessment, which adversities push your buttons. And, you know, you can, you know, go look at that test. And I imagine online you could probably find this, right? Which mm-hmm. adversities push your buttons. Well, we could go look for that, but I bet they do. But I just want to make a comment on some of the things that they have here. Then one is not difficult at all, two, somewhat difficult, three, moderately difficult, four, very difficult, and five, extremely difficult. So conflicts at work with a colleague, conflicts with a family member, and there's several more. I love this one. Ready? Receiving positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
mm-hmm.
I think for a lot of people, that's a stressor. And I don't think people mm-hmm. really realize that.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people, like, you know, it's one thing to have negative, which can be really tough,
like, okay,
but to have positive.
To have negative, right? I expect to have mm-hmm. that. But it's like, wait a minute, you know, and there could be lots of reasons for that. But I think the point that really is important here is that to know that these adversities, that these button pushers come in many forms that you may not think they might turn out to be. So a good list here, you know, success, failure, all kinds of things. So, but the important thing is to find out it's really about what are they for you. So, and they start talking about what are your beliefs, and that's really what starts bringing up those, you know, that's where those, it becomes an adversity based on the belief that you have. And here mm-hmm. on page 71, they talk about the beeper activity. And they say, program your watch or computer to beep at random intervals or every hour if you cannot make it a random one. Whenever you hear the beep, shift your attention to your beliefs and record whatever is going on in your head at the moment.
I thought that was a great exercise.
So that could be something that you take on to just kind of start noticing. What are those things that I'm thinking about? And mm-hmm. start noticing when you start getting, you know, getting upset, you know, there's a belief behind there someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was a great exercise. The only one person was talking about, you know, what's going on in there? I'd be like, I'm hungry. I'm bored. Or, you know, there'd just be all these different conversations. And, you know, that so much to me reminds me of meditation. Because, you know, when you go to check in sometimes, you've just got this continual kind of a thought happening. And, you know, with meditation, it's basically just observe that and you let it, like a cloud, let it float by. Because it's a matter of being the witness to that and watching it, as opposed to feeling like necessarily you need to do anything about it. So that could be a very powerful practice of being able to look at that. You know, and one of the things they really encourage is, like, you know, what's going on? You know, what's going to happen, you know, next when I have these kind of things? You know, do I need to react to that or respond to that? Or can I just notice it and let it go by? So those are just things that I think are really good, being able to know that there's options. There's things I can do or not do. Not doing as much as an option as doing something. So I just think that it helps you to kind of expand your sense of, you know, where you are. And, you know, it's like, again, talking about expectations of that I need to do or not do something. I can literally be maybe the observer sometimes and being able to look at that. But, you know, it's being able to look at your patterns of what's happening and not happening. So, you know, we kind of jumped by, and that's actually going to be part of your beep. You know, your B's are like working in your beliefs. So,
right. Well, so the
know,
A's are the,
beeper is your beep.
And then
you know, that's
the
B beep,
is,
yeah.
Is your beliefs. Yeah, and funding for those. And here on 72, like I said, as a species, we're probably evolutionarily prepared to search for causes of adversity that befall us. The accurate identification of causes is essential to locating workable solutions, you know, like not getting eaten by a tiger.
Yeah, that's an important one, for sure.
So I think, you know, genetically we're wired for that. In some ways you have to fight against, quote unquote, human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to, you know, to be like, okay, I'm in charge now. You know, what do I do now? Where do I make sense of that?
Mm-hmm.
Or why am I in charge? Okay. How did I get here? Okay.
Being able to look at that's a biggie right there.
So, and again, with the C's is looking at the consequences of, you know, having these different things that I look at. You know, I'm running through my head, you know, being able to look at these adversities and then see, you know, looking at the consequences, the way that I feel and what did I do in the moment with these different challenges that happened and, you know, where, why, you know, how did I get here kind of a thing.
It's interesting. And remember your patterns, right? Yeah, starting to notice what are your patterns. Something happens,
right.
A belief pops up, and then there's something that happens from that. And I just want to point out about a sentence here I really like. They talk about resilience requires a balance between thinking about the past and planning for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good one. So.
I think it can easily be trapped in either place.
There's a lot of ahas in these chapters that can be very subtle. And you look at it and go, yeah, I knew that. But yet, when you really stop and you just kind of go, let me read that again and let me just sit with that for a second.
Well,
that's
what I think
it's important.
We like to recommend that you. I think that's why it's so important that we recommend to people, right, that they pick something to look at, whatever, a book or a process or whatever, and do it with a partner, have a journal, and then talk about it. Because in that talking, sometimes you'll go, oh, wow, I didn't really notice that or catch that.
Yeah, really, really important. Really very, very important.
So, and looking at that, so resilient people are able to regulate their emotions and control their reactions so they can respond appropriately to the given situations. You know, the goal is not to be in a good mood all the time or to never, you know, give up. Rather, the goal is to have your emotions and your behaviors be productive, appropriate responses to the facts of the situation and not really going to the knee-jerk reactions that with these different things that are pushing the button. I think that's something that's really good to remind yourself. Again, beginner's mind sometimes and being looking, you know, how, and, you know, as it's just to me, it's almost like, you know, when you have all these books that you've read and you've benefited from them and, you know, I think it's so beneficial to, you know, pick something back up after 3 or 4 years and look at it again. And you'll wonder, you know, I know I catch myself sometimes. I'll have stuff underlined in a book, and I'll go back and go, why did I underline that? I thought it was so significant. It was something that I really wanted to take in. And now I look at it and go, okay, you know, but something else, if something else is going to be feeling a little more true or broader for me to be able to look at something. I think that's a really good practice to me. Because, you know, you get to a point, you know, in your life, depending on what you've been interested in, that, you know, do I really need another book? When it comes to something like that, there's probably some really good classics that I've got in my bookcase that I can go back and be able to embrace in a new way that I hadn't even imagined. So we've got about a minute and a half left here, Amy. What else do we want to cover with the end of the ABCs?
Well, a lot of good stuff, but a couple things that I think are really important. They talk about how anger comes from we believe we've been treated unfairly or thwarted in the pursuit of a goal. So then when somebody... or somebody's angry at you, maybe looking at, oh, I wonder what's going on here, right? And knowing that, not getting caught in the anger, but knowing, oh, there's something else going on. And then further on talks about the guilt, and that one useful function of guilt is to get us to stop doing whatever it is that we are doing that is generating that guilt and to motivate us to make amends. So I think appropriate guiltiness is good because that makes you go like, okay, maybe I need to write something here. And so I think I think it's important there how to use the ABCs and start looking at when things start happening, what is the belief and what things are happening that the consequences that I'm having to pay a price for. And so you might want to start journaling that. I think it's good to have somebody to talk to about that. Let me see. So there's a Learning Your ABCs worksheet on page 90, and it says describe the adversity, the objectively, the who, the what, the when, the where, and what happened. And then, two, identify the consequences, your emotions and behaviors during that event, and record in column C. And then, three, identify your ticker tape belief during the adversity and record in column B. It gets a little confusing, remember. Remember, don't censor, and then cross-check. Make sure that you've identified a belief for each consequence, that there is a consequence for each belief. So here, the ticker tape belief, she thinks that I'm too aggressive on the phone and will make the problem worse. She never trusts that I'll handle myself professionally and is constantly undermining my authority. And the consequence, I'm very irritated. I make a provocative comment or remark. So it's like, whoa. So it's like before you say something, especially as somebody who controls your paycheck, you might want to be looking at what is it that underlying belief, and is that true? And, you know, maybe having some opportunity for looking at yourself, but maybe having a conversation, you know, with yourself and a conversation with that person before you start taking action, saying things, doing things that you're going to have to pay a price for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so there's so much. And, you know, going back to guilt just for a second, another cousin of guilt is shame. Mm-hmm. I'm working from a lane. It's like, you know, shame is serving us to be able to, you know, and feeling shamed, I can look at that and see how I would want to, change or do something to be able to kind of reset myself. So it's an invitation for resetting yourself, which I think is really great. So lots of great information is that. So we're getting resilient. Yes. Looking at all this good stuff. So I know, it's exciting. So next week we're going to be talking about avoiding the thinking traps. And boy, you know, hey, let's get out of our heads and get into our heart. That would be great. And detecting the icebergs, which I'm excited. I'm going to look at the icebergs and see, you know, just what are these things under the surface that, you know, we don't think are affecting us. But, boy, they really are. And if we can know what those things are, that really just helps us to just unlock a Pandora box within us and really just help us be that much more confident and realize that we've got a lot more resilience than we really thought we did. And I think that's going to be an exciting chapter as well, though.
You don't want to pull a Titanic, so you want to be looking around for those icebergs.
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Miss Amy.
Thank you, Miss Robin.
Okay. Well, thank our guests and our audience, and as always, with all your questions, comments, ideas. We really appreciate that. And we will see you next time here at the cafe to be becoming more and more resilient. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.